Hello everyone, thanks for joining. Today we're going to talk about setting up the Connect the Dots demo, and we're going to specifically be doing the Azure prep part so that you can get your Azure environment ready and then connect your device up and start sending data to Azure. My name's Tim Benrick, and you can find me at timrnd.com. And I have with me Paul DiCarlo. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. I'm really looking forward to setting this thing up. This is a really cool demo if you guys haven't seen this, where you can actually take devices, send data into these high-throughput event hubs, and then actually visualize that data in a sample website via Azure web deployment.
That's awesome. So let's go ahead and get started. And the best way to do this, and you've done this a few times, so I'm going to have you walk me through this. But earlier you told me just to go to connectthedots.io.
Correct.
All right. So let's do that.
Inside this repo, it's a really cool project from MS OpenTech. They do a lot of things with open source technologies that actually interact with some of our Microsoft stack technology. I think you can get a really good understanding of it if you scroll down through the README. There's a nice little pictorial that sort of shows what this does, where you've got sensors, right, that are either directly connected into the Microsoft Azure cloud, or we have sensors connected through a gateway that then speak through. And once we get this into the cloud, right, we can read the data, store it. We can even do processing in real time using streaming analytics services. We can even warehouse it and learn from it later using things like machine learning to understand and make forecasts about our data. And what we'll also be able to do is see the data coming in real time through some of the apps and online dashboards that are offered.
Wow, this is awesome. I'm just looking at this website here that it's showing the data in kind of a line graph that we can see. And this comes in over real time as our devices are sending data. Is that right?
Correct. It's actually going to go through an Azure Event Hub, so capable of processing up to 1 million events per second. We'll actually set that up very easily using the Azure prep that you're discussing. And then we're going to follow up with the website deployment to see this data in real time on our deployment.
That's great. And this README seems to be very, very detailed. So let's go ahead and get started. I guess step one would probably be to clone this repo, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can clone it or download the zip, just as long as you can get that code down onto your machine in some way.
All right, I'm just going to clone it here.
Definitely recommend if you are really handy with Git, go ahead, clone the repo. It is open source, so if you want to make some pull requests, changes to the code, maybe even add on some support for devices that we don't have yet, you can do all of that with the project. We've had quite a few community contributions come through, and it's always interesting to see like the latest device get connected up to Azure. In fact, the sample device we're going to use today is the Particle Core. So we just recently announced a partnership between Microsoft and Particle. We'll be using this device. If you haven't seen it, really, really cool. It's a microcontroller with a Wi-Fi enabled chip, Arduino compatible. So it's really, really awesome, low power that we're going to actually connect up through these event hubs.
That's awesome. So that's a great point. You said being familiar with Git, I just kind of grabbed the URL and cloned it. But if I wanted to, I could click this button to download a zip file, and it would zip up this entire repo, which I could extract and have the same files.
Absolutely. So yeah, whatever your fancy is for that, if you're a contributor, you might want to go ahead and do the clone. And if you just want to dig into the code as is, go ahead and just extract the zip.
Yeah, great. So this is what I clone, and this is what the zip would be as well. So, I see here in the README, there's a great setup section. It says setup task. Clone or copy, that's what we just did. And step two is Azure prep. So I'm going to click on that to get taken into the README for the Azure prep. And it says I need an Azure subscription, which I have, and I need Visual Studio 2013. And so if I didn't have an Azure subscription, I can click this link and it will take me to azure.com to sign up for a free trial, which gives me $200 to play with, which is plenty for this. And then the Visual Studio 2013 Community Edition is also a free version of Visual Studio that I could use as an indie developer myself. So I see that here, and I see that it kind of tells me what to do and open up the Connect the Dots Azure solution. So I'll go in here, Azure Prep, and here's the Azure Prep solution. So I'm going to open that up. And you may get an error saying, hey, do you trust this source because you downloaded it online? I did not get that. If you get that, go ahead and say you trust the source, and then it may prompt you that for four or five times because it looks like we've got four different projects in here. But I have that open, and so if I went back to the README here, it kind of tells me what to do, but I'm going to have you tell me that, so I'm not going to walk through this particular README. I'm going to have you be the README. How does that sound, Paul?
Yeah, sure. That sounds great. So the first thing is, by default, it's going to select that connect-the-dots.cloud-deploy.azure-prep project. That is not the one that's currently selected. You can always right-click, select it as the appropriate startup project.
Okay, right there. Yep.
There you go. And so once you have that, you can go ahead and start it. This is pretty interesting what's going to happen here. It's a command line program that is going to connect up into Azure using your subscription details to create all of the back-end infrastructure that's required for the Connect the Dots demo, meaning any of the things like the streaming analytics services, the event hubs, the namespace, the storage account, all of that is going to be automatically configured for us. It's a really clever deployment practice, right, to kind of wrap this up into an application so we could sort of white label this, right, maybe build this solution out for a number of different partners because we have all the resources capable of being created through this program. So I'll let you walk us through this, Tim. So it looks like the program has started and is now asking you
to sign in. Yeah, and I see this is saying to sign in with your work or school account, which is otherwise known as a organizational account. Now, if you don't have an organizational account, you have a Microsoft account. It looks like you can click here to sign in with a Microsoft account. I'm going to use my organizational account, which I've created a CLI, a command line interface one for this. And I can show you a video resource that tells you, kind of walks you through how to set that up. And so I'm going to let this authenticate and see. And it says I've got one subscription, my demo subscription. So I'm going to click on that subscription number and hit enter. Are you sure I want to use this? Yes, I want to use that. So it's going to go in and request access to my subscription. So I'll accept the OAuth here. And now it's asking me to go ahead and get started with the namespace. So I'm going to just take a second and promote a video that I just recorded with Jeremy Foster. So if you go to Channel 9, which you're already on, and you search for Azure CLI, you'll see a video right here using and signing in with the Azure CLI. In this video, I walk through, if you don't have an organizational account and you want to get one, I walk through how you can create one using your existing Active Directory in your Azure subscription. So be sure to check that out. The URL for that is right here in case the search doesn't pull up for you. So, okay, we'll get back to setting up our code here. Oops, so many windows. Let me clean this up a bit. Okay, so here we go. So it's asking me for a service bus namespace, which is where event hubs. And so I should probably call this maybe connect the dots demo. And I always like to preface when I'm creating Azure services, I'll just do the date. So 7/15, just so I know when I create this and I could remove it. If this is something you're doing for more production, you might want to give it a better name. But to me, this is going to work. So connect the dots demo 7/15. That sounds good. How does that sound to you, Paul? All right, so let's go ahead and get that going. It's going to ask me where to create it. I live in Chicago, so I'll do the Central U.S. and click in one. Central U.S., yes.
You know, I can really see this code being useful, too. That's interesting. It actually enumerates the data center. So, you know, even breaking this code apart to create a automatic deployment script, you know, for something that you're creating in-house or for your particular use case. This would be really interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the great things I love about Azure is the Azure portal is actually using the exact same REST API services that we get as a developer. And so we could do that just through REST with the different NuGet packages for integrating with Azure, or we could use the PowerShell commandlets or even the cross-platform CLI tool that's created in Node. And they all use the same underlying REST API, which is great and allows you to just access Azure and script out your deployments in a variety of ways.
Yes, I love that. It's like you have a full-scale deployment now in a box, right?
Yeah, it's great. And you can, you know, there's so many different ways to configure it, whether it's, you know, creating your own console app or, you know, even using tools like Chef and Puppet. There's just a lot of different great ways to do that. So it looks like it created my namespace and it's saying, do I want to create the EH Alerts Event Hub? And so I'm assuming, you know, I could probably set up some alerting. So if my temperature, and maybe I've got this in my room, and if my temperature gets above 78 or something, to shoot me a text or, you know, alert some sort of process that I can then take action on. Is that what that is?
That's what it sounds like, yeah. So it's actually going to use this to create an event hub that can capture alerts that are going to be created from the streaming analytics services.
Oh, wow. So I'm going to go ahead and say yes, I'll create that. Looks like it's creating a storage account as well.
And I believe that the events that are going to go into this event hub will actually be retained in that storage account for a short period of time. It's like 7 days. I want to say that it'll actually retain anything that actually goes through this event hub. So if you're not familiar with that, event hubs are really just these mechanisms that allow for high throughput processing of messages. So there are these lightweight protocols that go through there, and it's capable of doing a million of these per second. So really good for high ingestion data. So you can think about using this in a variety of scenarios.
That's great. So I'll go ahead and create the stream analytics jobs as well. And stream analytics jobs is what gives me that near real-time analytics where I could have that go to maybe a Power BI dashboard, or I could write my own service that ingests that, the streaming analytics data, right?
Correct. It's really interesting. If you look at it in the Azure portal, you'll see it's a SQL-like syntax that actually operates on JSON data coming through this event hub that we can pull things out with time-based queries. So we're actually going to look at a sampling of the data coming through that event hub over some sort of what they call a tumbling window. So every 10 seconds, it'll actually create a job that looks at the data and computes an average value out of everything that's coming through there. You can think of a wide variety of examples where you could also apply that to different data sets.
Great. And as you can, I was kind of going through this while you were talking, and you notice I hit one to say use the default, but I really wanted to create my own. And so that's where I kind of backtracked, and I ended up creating a new resource group called CDD for Connect the Dots. And now it's asking me to create the aggregate job, which I'm assuming is a stream analytics job, that it does a separate SQL query to aggregate the data in some fashion.
Correct. And you'll actually be able to see all of these when you log back into your portal.
It looks like we're getting some errors on these jobs. But if I wanted to, I could rerun this same program. And as long as I put in the same namespace, it will keep going. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And so just like that, we've created an event hub, a storage account, a streaming analytics job, or multiple streaming analytics job. And now it looks like it's given me the AMQP D1 through D4 codes that I would then use to connect up to my device.
Yeah, so it's interesting what those are. Those are actually connection strings. I believe the nomenclature that they're using there, D1 through D4, think of D as standing for device. So this is so that you can take a variety of devices and connect those up and sort of know where they're coming from. And in a real production environment, you would want to create multiples of these in case you needed to revoke a key because perhaps one of these devices was compromised. So you could actually pull those in, pull those out, or know, deep down analytics on which device is producing some series of metrics if you wanted to go that fine-grained.
And it looks like it also took this same output and put it to a log file on my desktop.
Correct. Yes. So if you open that up, you'll actually be able to see the results of the program that we just ran. So if you need to go back and get your D1 keys and that sort of thing, you can find those here. You can also find them in the portal. So if you log into your portal and actually click through on the event hub and click for the connection strings, you'll be able to find those.
All right. So let's go ahead and do that. I'll go to azure.com and click on the portal up here on the right. And I've already logged in with the same credentials that I ran the prep job with. And so what we can confirm that up here on the right here, it'll say CLI demo. That's the same credentials I used when creating it. And so what's nice in this current portal is you can see all items, and I can see that it's got the storage account it created, the namespace. And if I go into the namespace, there's my event hubs, the alerts and the devices it created. And if I go back, you know what I see that's missing, Paul, is the streaming analytics jobs. And actually, if we looked at the log file, I do see that I had some exceptions. The subscription's not registered to use the namespace Microsoft.streaming analytics, which is odd because I do see streaming analytics here. Let me go ahead and try and create one and see if this works. So I'm just going to create one called delete me and hit OK and make sure that I can actually create one. And it worked. That's odd. So I'm going to actually, since we got the error, I will show how you can rerun this. So I'm going to hit enter to close, and I'm going to just rerun this program. So,
yeah, I guess this is good to know. So if you do experience any sort of issues when running the provisioner in Azure Prep, then you can always come back in, and even if you enter in the same namespace, as you'll see Tim do in just a moment, it'll actually continue to run through creating any of the other services that may have failed to create. So in our case, it seems that we had a problem creating the streaming analytics services. So all we did was logged into our Azure portal, created a dummy delete me streaming analytics service. We're going to just go ahead and run the Azure Prep EXE one more time.
And I'm going to make sure I get the namespace correct, which was connect the dots demo 0715. And I do want to use that. I'm going to put that in central. Yes, that's where I had it before. And so here we go. It's smart, and it says that the namespace was already created. Do I want to create the EH events hub? And I don't, because I do know that was created, and I'm sure I don't want to. And it's attempting to create a storage account. It says, hey, the storage account already exists. So now do you want to create the streaming analytics jobs? I do, and I'm sure. And I'm going to throw that in that resource group I created for connect the dots. And I am going to attempt to create the aggregates job. And let's wait a second, because it's working asynchronously. Ah, there we go. Streaming analytics jobs created.
So nice. It seems like the kind of prime the pump there. We just went in there and created a sample streaming analytics service. It's good FYI to know. So just in case this doesn't work seamlessly the first time you run, remember, you can always run the program a second time, and it won't recreate things that have already existed from the previous run. And you'll see our D1 keys are there, and those are actually the same keys. I do recognize those
okay.
from the previous
And
one.
If I wanted to get those, just confirm that that's in the service bus namespace, and I go here to my event hub, and I'm looking at EH devices and connection information, and here I can see the connection information for these four different devices.
Correct. And that'll give you the full string that you would use in like a web config or something like that in order to connect up to the event hub.
Perfect. Okay. And so now what's the next step?
So what we're going to do next, we need to have somewhere where we can see this data coming through, right? So you've created all this infrastructure, but we're going to need to have a website with which to view that data in. But before we can create that website, we're going to need to create a web config file for that website that knows how to connect to the Event Hub infrastructure that we just created in
okay.
Azure.
So I just kind of, while you were talking, cheated here and went to the README. So it looks like I go to this Azure Prep, and I'll close this. And it looks like I go down and have start this project. So I'll set this as my startup project by right-clicking on the project and hit set at startup, and then start this.
Correct.
And then log in again, it looks like.
Yes. So this is actually going to pull down the necessary information to connect up to those services so that our web config in our site that we're going to deploy knows how to get data out of the event hub.
And I can see the namespace, so I'm going to create number one. Great, it looks like it put the web config on my desktop.
Yes, and so what we're going to do, we're going to go grab that web config, and we're going to put that into the root of the website solution as part of the Connect the Dots. So we're actually done here with the Azure
okay,
Prep.
Okay, so I'm going to get out of, going back to my source code here, I'm going to get out of Azure Prep and go to the website and launch.
And here you're going to want to enter into that Connect the Dots website folder.
Okay, so let me, I'll launch Visual Studio and then I'll minimize this and go back.
And there's a number of ways to do this, but actually, if you go back into Visual Studio, you'll notice the webconfig file is missing. And that's because it's waiting for us to use that webconfig file that we just created that's landed on our desktop.
Minimize here and go to my desktop and drag in this webconfig and go back to Visual Studio. It's now saying it's there.
Yes. And actually, you can go ahead and open that up. You'll see those connection strings that we were just looking at will be a part of the webconfig file. So if you scroll up, you'll see over here, yes, there's our endpoints that's connecting up to.
Wonderful. And so now I can run this locally?
Correct. So this should deploy onto your local machine. We should see some things start up, but we're going to need to configure just a few things in order for this to work properly. So by default, the streaming analytics services jobs that we created may not be enabled or turned on. So we may need to head into the portal to turn those on. In addition, the web portal does require WebSockets, which you're going to have to enable through the portal as well. So it looks like you've deployed the site locally, which is great. But we don't have the streaming analytics jobs running. And if we were to publish this up into Azure, we would need to enable WebSockets. So we're not going to need to do that now because you've got this deployed locally, but we'll keep that in mind for when we publish this up.
All right. So what you were saying here is if I go to streaming analytics in the portal, I can see that. Let me refresh the portal. Oh, there they are. But of course, I hit refresh, so we'll let that load.
And you should see all of the jobs that we just created in the Azure prep, at least listed there. And then you're going to see there's an option to actually turn these on or start them. And the streaming analytics are pretty cool. You can actually set them to turn on at a specific time, or you can set them to turn on instantly. So you'll see right now, we do have the jobs created. So we've got the alert, the aggregates, and then there's the C4 PBI, which is actually one that connects up into Power BI. You've got the light sensor, and we've got our delete me. I guess we can go ahead and start up the aggregates job since we'll be using it.
Before I start,
let
me look, and I can just show that SQL query here. And so it's very SQL-less. It's taking data from our event hubs, and it's getting the measurement name, the unit of measure, and then we're setting some value, some literals here. But now I'm also taking the max from the time created and the average value from my input, which is my event hub. And then, I can send this to a variety of outputs, whether it be a different event hub or Power BI or SQL database. And so streaming analytics is really cool.
I really love that one word, tumbling window, right? So it actually looks at 10 seconds worth of data that's coming through the query. So right there at the bottom, tumbling window, second 10. That means it's actually pulling in the sum of that data, that entire window of data during that time period. So it's really cool, very simple to get this sort of information out of an event hub. And you'll notice there's some cool tools in here. You can send sample data, upload that in there, and actually execute that against your query just to make sure you're getting the results you're looking for. And once you've got everything configured, you can go ahead and hit that start button down at the bottom. These can take like a little bit to start. Like, they're not usually instantaneous. Maybe it takes about a minute or so. And you'll see that is currently starting. And that's going to allow us to get an average measure across the data that's going to be coming through our portal. Now, on that note, we're going to need to get data up into this portal. So I was thinking that one of the solutions we could use for this, we do have support for the particle core. So if we head back into the GitHub project, you'll see in the devices folder that there's a variety of devices. This will be a directly connected device under particle core. And technically what we'll be looking at is the particle core plus DHT11 solution. Okay. So if we check that out and you take a quick look at the setup.md, you can see what we're actually using. So I've got this plugged in on my side. It looks exactly like that. It's a DHT11 sensor connected to one of these particle cores. And if you're interested in using this solution, you can head into this GitHub project and actually read the README documents on setting this up. We've also got some videos up on Hackster.io that show how to get this connected with the particle photon as well.
You also created a Channel 9 video, right?
Yes. So there is a Channel 9 video that will walk you through this as well.
If I just search particle, here
so again,
it is.
Even getting these connected is so much content that we're not going to cover that in detail in this video. We really just want to go over the infrastructure. But just to give you an idea on the device that's actually going to be sending our sample data in, you can look at that here.
Great. Okay. So you have this device set up and ready to go?
I do. I believe it's online, and with a simple click of a command, I should be able to get it to start sending data up into your
Okay. Well, let
portal.
Me send you my my D1 key here real quick. So I'm just going to copy this. And we're running this in Skype, so I'll just send that over to you.
Got it.
Perfect.
And it looks like we're ready. That's pretty much all I needed. I've got a webhook configured with that D1 key that has just been deployed. And as far as I know, my device should be sending data up
into
your
GitHub.
Okay,
well, let's actually publish this to Azure then and show that, and we'll hopefully see it work. So I'm going to right-click on my project and hit publish. And what's great about the tooling here in Visual Studio is I can select a separate website, and you can see I have Azure CLI demo or SendGrid demo. I can also just create a new one right here in the portal. So I'll say, you know, connect the dots demo 0715. And that's available, and I'll create that in the central US. Don't need a database. And hit create. And so this will actually walk me through creating a site. Again, using the Visual Studio team is using the Azure REST APIs. And then it will actually connect and download the publishing profile using WebDeploy right here. So I can connect through this and hit publish. And just like that, through WebDeploy, it's publishing this site up into Azure. So within, you know, that was 30 seconds probably, it created a Azure website and is now publishing the code for this Connect the Dots demo.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So if we log back into the Azure portal, we should see that it's created that CTD demo 0715.azurewebsites.net. That's awesome.
And you said I need to do that and enable...
Yeah, you'll notice that although I am sending data to the portal right now, we probably wouldn't see it because we actually need to get into the portal and enable WebSockets, because WebSockets aren't enabled by default when you deploy. Unfortunately, that is a manual step that you'll have to configure when you're first deploying your website. But after it's configured once, you'll never have to do it again. And that's just because the way that the Connect the Dots portal works is it actually takes these events from the event hub and then puts them out to the user interface through WebSockets connections.
Okay,
to
so
clients.
I've launched my website here. I'll go to the Configure tab. And
yes, and then you'll see as you're scrolling through there up in the top that we can enable
there it is.
Our sockets. Yes, down there. There we go. Once that's on, you can hit save. Might be a good idea to restart. Not sure if that's required, but...
All right. Well, that was easy. So we just restarted and...
Do that.
So I can go ahead and hit browse here, and this will launch the website, the Connect the Dots demo 715.azurewebsites.net. And in a second, this will load in the data. And you can see we've got MS Office, which is Houston, Texas. Is that where you're at, Paul? Houston?
Yes, I'm in the office here in Houston, Texas. So we should start to see that data come in. One of the things, the way this is programmed, we're going to see a flat line down there because there's really nothing to compare it to, and there's no temperature average. But you'll see that purple line growing there is actually our data coming in real time. I've got another portal up at connectthedotsdx.azurewebsites.net, which if you connect into, you'll see what happens when we have multiple sensors. And you should see a bit more data on the
I'll do that.
Here.
So, but what's cool is this is your device that you're sending, and this one is actually what's coming from our stream analytics, where it's doing the aggregates.
Correct.
That's really cool. Correct. So, yeah, you said that's connectthedotsdx.azurewebsites.net.
Yeah, and what's really cool is it's very easy for me to send this data from one device into multiple event hubs or multiple portals, as you'll see here. So you'll see the MS Office is there again. This one's set up at home, so I've also got a temperature sensor in my bedroom. And you can see we've now got data coming in from the MS Office as well as the bedroom, so the average is going to be a little bit more interesting to look at.
That's cool. And as we get more sensors or more data, then we'll start to see these graphs. And yeah, you can see the orange here is the average, the blue is the office, and the green is your bedroom. Looks like you like to sleep in a cold room. At 77 degrees where you're at, that's pretty hot. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's the South.
Well, there you have it, folks. So we showed you today how to create the Azure Prep, how to create the Azure infrastructure for Connect the Dots and get that going, how to publish the website. And then if you look at that video that Paul's posted on Channel 9 here, how to hands-on with Particle Photon, it walks you through how to get the hardware and actually start sending data to your own event hubs. So thanks for joining, Paul. Thank you very much for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. This has been really awesome. And, you know, I hope to see you guys connect these things up and maybe even get some original ideas around this whole infrastructure, right? I love seeing streaming analytics operating on data coming from physical sensors. You know, you can think about this as being a Internet of Things solution, right, that's scalable running in Azure. So very exciting stuff. I'd love to see what you guys do with this and hear any of the questions or feedback that you have in the comments for this video.
Paul, is there another way people can get in contact with you as well? Do you have a blog?
Yeah, absolutely. So I usually publish under pjdcarlo.com. You can look me up on Channel 9 under Paul DiCarlo, Twitter pjdcarlo. I'd be more than happy to get any shout-outs or questions from anybody that's watching any of the videos with the content we've been looking at recently.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. It's been awesome.